their husbands making a trio of presidents in the room.
The Carters' daughter, Amy Carter, spoke.
When I see you, I fall in love with you all over again. Does that seem strange to you? It doesn't to me.
There will be a private funeral on Wednesday. Hamas released more hostages on the fifth day of a ceasefire. CBS's Matt Piper.
On the fifth day of a ceasefire, Hamas releases 12 hostages and Israel releases 30 Palestinian prisoners. Israel says 10 of its citizens and two Thai nationals freed by Hamas have now returned to Israel. Soon after that happened, Israel released the Palestinian prisoners. Unless another deal is brokered, one more exchange is set for Wednesday, though it's believed Hamas has dozens more hostages.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will visit the region this week to try to extend the truce. Pope Francis, suffering from the flu, has canceled a planned trip to a climate conference in Dubai, says CBS's Sabina Castelfranco in Rome.
The announcement was made by the Vatican following advice by his doctors due to a flu and lung infection. The Vatican said the Pope's general clinical condition has improved, but the Pope agreed not to go ahead with his trip with great regret.
The U.S. House could vote this week on a resolution to expel New York Republican George Santos. He spoke on the House floor.
We are now going down a third attempt for a privilege resolution to expel me from the House of Representatives this week.
Santos said he will not resign and has said he expects to be expelled. The judge overseeing the estate of singer Aretha Franklin has awarded some of Franklin's real estate to her sons. The judge says she's following the wishes of a handwritten will from 2014 that was found between couch cushions. That document overrides an older will that was found at around the same time. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local civic media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Welcome winter. Heavy snow has fallen in parts of the Northeast, says CBS's Elaine Cajano.
In New York, airport crews in Rochester were hard at work on the tarmac, de-icing planes before takeoff. And near Buffalo, thunder snow, as a lake effect mix of cold air, unpredictable wind, and snow clogged roads and towns.
Oh, it was a little crazy. A foot of snow in the road for about 8 miles and slick when it was plowed.
It was the second day of memorials for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who died last week at the age of 96. CBS's Mark Strassman was in Atlanta.
Star power in the sanctuary, America's most exclusive sisterhood, all five living first ladies.
Secretary Clinton and Dr. Biden, we also welcome your lovely husbands.
Their husbands making a trio of presidents in the room.
The Carters' daughter, Amy Carter, spoke.
When I see you, I fall in love with you all over again. Does that seem strange to you? It doesn't to me.
There will be a private funeral on Wednesday. Hamas released more hostages on the fifth day of a ceasefire. CBS's Matt Piper.
On the fifth day of a ceasefire, Hamas releases 12 hostages and Israel releases 30 Palestinian prisoners. Israel says 10 of its citizens and two Thai nationals freed by Hamas have now returned to Israel. Soon after that happened, Israel released the Palestinian prisoners. Unless another deal is brokered, one more exchange is set for Wednesday, though it's believed Hamas has dozens more hostages.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will visit the region this week to try to extend the truce. Pope Francis, suffering from the flu, has canceled a planned trip to a climate conference in Dubai, says CBS's Sabina Castelfranco in Rome.
The announcement was made by the Vatican following advice by his doctors due to a flu and lung infection. The Vatican said the Pope's general clinical condition has improved, but the Pope agreed not to go ahead with his trip with great regret.
The U.S. House could vote this week on a resolution to expel New York Republican George Santos. He spoke on the House floor.
We are now going down a third attempt for a privilege resolution to expel me from the House of Representatives this week.
Santos said he will not resign and has said he expects to be expelled. The judge overseeing the estate of singer Aretha Franklin has awarded some of Franklin's real estate to her sons. The judge says she's following the wishes of a handwritten will from 2014 that was found between couch cushions. That document overrides an older will that was found at around the same time. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Welcome winter. Heavy snow has fallen in parts of the Northeast, says CBS's Elaine Cajano.
In New York, airport crews in Rochester were hard at work on the tarmac, de-icing planes before takeoff. And near Buffalo, thundersnow, as a lake effect mix of cold air, unpredictable wind, and snow clogged roads and towns.
It was a little crazy. A foot of snow in the road for about 8 miles, and slick when it was plowed.
It was the second day of memorials for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who died last week at the age of 96. CBS's Mark Strassman was in Atlanta.
Star power in the sanctuary, America's most exclusive sisterhood, all five living First Ladies.
Secretary Clinton and Dr. Biden, we also welcome your lovely husbands.
Their husbands making a trio of presidents in the room.
The Carter's daughter, Amy Carter, spoke.
When I see you, I fall in love with you all over again. Does that seem strange to you? It doesn't to me.
There will be a private funeral on Wednesday. Hamas released more hostages on the fifth day of a ceasefire. CBS's Matt Piper.
On the fifth day of a ceasefire, Hamas releases 12 hostages and Israel releases 30 Palestinian prisoners. Israel says 10 of its citizens and two Thai nationals freed by Hamas have now returned to Israel. Soon after that happened, Israel released the Palestinian prisoners. Unless another deal is brokered, one more exchange is set for Wednesday, though it's believed Hamas has dozens more hostages.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will visit the region this week to try to extend the truce. Pope Francis, suffering from the flu, has canceled a planned trip to a climate conference in Dubai, says CBS's Sabina Castelfranco in Rome.
The announcement was made by the Vatican following advice by his doctors due to a flu and lung infection. The Vatican said the Pope's general clinical condition has improved, but the Pope agreed not to go ahead with his trip with great regret.
The U.S. House could vote this week on a resolution to expel New York Republican George Santos. He spoke on the House floor.
We are now going down a third attempt for a privilege resolution to expel me from the House of Representatives this week.
Santos said he will not resign and has said he expects to be expelled. The judge overseeing the estate of singer Aretha Franklin has awarded some of Franklin's real estate to her sons. The judge says she's following the wishes of a handwritten will from 2014 that was found between couch cushions. That document overrides an older will that was found at around the same time. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If the court strikes those maps down, it will likely mean the end of the GOP's decade-long domination of the state house, and it will be because of what happened in Dane County in April. And I'd like to say as a footnote, you're welcome.
Well done.
I think we've been doing our best here to turn out the vote in Dane County for 12 years plus, Tom. But anyways, if we can take credit for just our little sliver of a part...
Oh, we're being way too humble. It's all because of us.
Dom, almost a quarter million voters turned out in Dane, home of the University of Wisconsin, for a spring special election. Several thousand more voters than turned out in Milwaukee, a county with almost double Dane's population. A staggering 82% of Dane voters cast ballots to elevate liberal Judge Janet Protasiewicz to the state Supreme Court. Protasiewicz, whose vote could decide the gerrymandering case, ended up winning by 11 points, by essentially the margin of Dane County, I think, Dom, coming on the heels of the 2022 midterms when Wisconsin led the nation in youth turnout in the country. The GOP judicial candidate's April humiliation stunned the party. The GOP, that is, if you weren't clear. Former Wisconsin gubernator Scott Walker put it plainly, young people are the issue.
You damn kids, get off my lawn.
Doesn't he have a couple of young ones recently out of college? We've got to turn it around if we're going to win again, says Walker. You're not going to win again, wanker. Now the president of the conservative youth organization, I always get this wrong, Tom, called Young Adolphs. No, Young America's Foundation.
Young America's Foundation.
And he told Fox News the power that young voters wield was not exactly a revelation to Walker, as governor 12 years earlier, he signed a law making it harder to use student ID to vote, prompting universities in Wisconsin to offer IDs that met the state's new standards for free. And student engagement has only soared in Wisconsin in the years since. But that hasn't stopped the GOP from pulling pages from the same playbook across the country this year. Targeted efforts to disenfranchise student voters have ramped up as election after election prove just how critical the bloc is to guarantee Democratic victories. I appreciate the IC at the end of Democratic victories. With encouragement from influential GOP operatives, those efforts, which met with middling success in 23, are poised to escalate in 24, and they speak to growing fear with which Republican officials and strategists regard the young voters, Dom, the kids, are not all right as far as the GOP is concerned.
Crudy, again, from the Rolling Stone, written by Tessa Stewart. I'll jump in here. In Wisconsin, the GOP-controlled legislature has seized every opportunity to try and block students from voting. A quote from Morgan Hess, the executive director of Wisconsin Assembly Democrats, "We've seen really strong student engagement in our last couple of elections, and suddenly we're seeing new legislation that would prohibit students' ability to vote." Hess pointed to GOP efforts over the past several years to make it harder to register, eliminate drop boxes, shorten early voting, increase residency requirements, and reduce polling locations, mostly in Madison and Milwaukee. Hess said they are very targeted operations that serve to further entrench the power they already have.
That does seem like a trend, does it not?
It certainly does. Again, as mentioned, the same playbook. Months after their April routing, party functionaries at the Wisconsin GOP convention mulled a resolution demanding college students to vote absentee in their hometowns. One supporter of the resolution declared students had hijacked his city. The resolution failed to advance after another official raised the possibility that attacking students' right to vote could backfire, an argument that seems prophetic in retrospect, as a growing number of polls show Donald Trump, the presumptive GOP nominee, outpolling Joe Biden with young voters. Nevertheless, Republicans and state legislatures across the country this year have proposed laws targeting the student vote. In New Hampshire, House Republicans introduced a bill that would have prohibited any college students who pay out-of-state tuition from voting and required the state's colleges to provide the Secretary of State with a list of eligible voters. Lawmakers want the elections to be the reflection of those who reside in New Hampshire towns and who ultimately bear the consequences of election results, said Republican Rep. Sandra Panik, who introduced the measure in committee. The bill was eventually killed. The same month, a GOP lawmaker in Texas introduced a bill that would ban polling places at colleges and universities. That bill has not advanced out of committee. In Virginia, there was a failed effort to repeal a law that allows anyone 16 or older to register to vote if they will be 18 by the next major election. And according to the Voting Rights Lab, legislation seeking to change the rules around student IDs was introduced or enacted in at least 15 states this year. It's all part of a concerted strategy advanced by GOP operatives like Cleta Mitchell, one of the central figures behind Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. At a summit a few weeks after Wisconsin's April election, Mitchell told Republican donors that the party must do more to limit campus voting in swing states like Wisconsin, quote, for any candidate other than a leftist to have a chance to win in 2024. Nate, we got a little bit of sound of Cleta Mitchell. And as soon as I saw this and read this article and Cleta's mentioned, I knew exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you, Nate, for digging it up. Here's Cleta Mitchell lamenting those damn kids.
So we need to be looking at what are these college campus locations and polling. What is this young people effort that they do? They basically put the polling place next to the student dorm, so they just have to roll out of bed, vote, and go back to bed. And we need to build strong election integrity task forces in those counties.
I mean, heaven forbid you make it easy for students and everybody to vote. I mean, they're saying it out loud. And what are these committees, what are these task forces going to do? Well, of course, limit the ability to what? Put polling places in college dorms. You know where concentrated people are. Lots of people can roll out of bed and vote. Shouldn't that be how it is? Or should it be harder for people to vote? Cleta Mitchell. A little bit more here from the Rolling Stone. Students and their advocates are pushing back against these efforts. In Wisconsin, leaflets distributed on campus ahead of April's election included information educating voters about the state's ID requirements. In Idaho, the state that saw the largest increase in voter registration from 18 to 19-year-olds ahead of the 2020 midterms, a law set to go into effect January 1st, which bans the use of student ID to register to vote or cast a ballot, is being challenged in lawsuits by the organization Babe Vote, the League of Women Voters, and March for Our Lives Idaho. The group claims that the law violates constitutional protections against age discrimination in voting. Young people are the reason why Biden won in 2020, and Democrats up and down the ballot won in 22 and 23, said Abi Rahman, National Communications Director for the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. If Gen Z continues to vote, we're on the cusp of the most progressive era in our country's history. Republicans know this as well, and that's why they're doing everything they can to stop young people from voting, including the fight for restrictions that we're seeing play out in states like Wisconsin today. I think we got one more. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we got more Cleta Mitchell. Play it while there's time, please, Nate.
Wisconsin is a big problem because of the polling locations on college campuses. There are 501c3s. Their goal for the Supreme Court race was to turn out 240,000 college students in that Supreme Court race. And we don't have anything like that, and we need to figure out how to do that and how to combat that.
Mostly through voter suppression of the young kids now.
I mean, you could suppress the vote, or you could, I don't know, change your policies and your platform. I mean, there's an idea.
The kids are not all right as far as the GOP is concerned. Some fine reporting, Wisconsin-centric. Thought we'd lead there today, Dom. Got some surprises coming back, though. Also, I have seen from the Fulton County new news on who will not be getting a plea agreement, including the former president. That one's not a shocker. A couple more on the list. You got to come back to find out for sure-sies.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This thing right here.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates. But the show is kind of a big deal.
What guys talk about.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I got a couple of small updates. One, the eagerly awaited CJ hour-long entire podcast, full context. Nate did the work. He posted it. And also, our colleague, Nautica, he was traveling, taking an international vacation, brought back some booze.
Yeah.
And I've got to assume, of the two bottles, one is the Regency and one is the Hong Thong. And you're a Hong Thong kind of guy if I ever met one. So
I look forward to trying it out. Thank you, Nautica.
I have set aside the Hong Thong for your enjoyment. And I'm not going to try any today, but I will mention I am on the mend. I'm okay. I'm doing the show from the studio. So there'll be no more,
feeling better, man.
No more talk of Crudy's necessary home remedies. 844-967-2789. Dom, a story that intrigued me today, though. It is a story about who will not be getting a pardon. Who will not be getting a pardon. And it's basically Donald Trump talking about the Fulton County in Georgia. And I had not seen this. This was new news to me, Dom. And I'd like to think I'm well read on the topic of Donald Trump going to court, Donald Trump being charged criminally, feloniously in many multi-jurisdictions. But here's new news out of Georgia. Georgia prosecutors oppose plea deals for Trump, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani. They're going to get prosecuted to the full extent of the law, Dom. No sweetheart deals. Fulton County prosecutors do not intend to offer plea deals to Donald Trump and at least two high-level co-defendants charged in connection with their efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, according to two people familiar with the matter, preferring instead to force them to trial. Yeah. I prefer that as well, Dom. I can't wait for that trial. And in the state of Georgia, I would point out it will be televised.
Yes.
And it will not be subject to the pardon of the Republican governor. So if he gets convicted in Georgia, he's going to prison in Georgia. Right?
Yes.
A little bit more here. Aside from those three, the Fulton County District Attorney, Fonnie Willis, has opened plea talks or left open the possibility of talks with the remaining co-defendants in hope that they will ultimately decide to become cooperating witnesses against the former president, the people said. The previously unreported decision has not been communicated formally and could still change. For instance, if prosecutors shift strategy, I don't see them doing so, though.
Nope.
But it signals who prosecutors consider their main targets and how they want to wield the power of Georgia's racketeering statute to their advantage. They're going to wield some power, Dom. What do you think about this?
I think it's not looking great for the former president. And I think he's going to have a really, really tough time getting out of it. And I certainly hope that plea deals for everybody else. I'd love to see just those three. You know, Meadows, Trump, Giuliani. I mean, these are the folks that did it. Everyone else is, you know, snared into it. I mean, part of it, granted, they willingly did this. But if you're not going to acknowledge your wrongdoing and testify against the ringleaders, that's going to be a sight to behold. I don't think Trump's going to take it very well. I don't think Trump's doing very well on this at all. And we hear, you know, about the cognitive issues with Donald Trump. There may be some of that. I don't know. But what I do know, there's a lot of pressure on Donald Trump. And he may laugh it off and play it off and tweet out or whatever he does, you know, to like a madman. And maybe that's his way of dealing with it. But there is a lot of pressure on an older guy who's looking at what? Getting his bank taken away and facing prison time in Georgia.
Tom, what about the Republican House counter effort to impeach Joe Biden? And of course, bring Hunter Biden to some sort of secret closed door justice.
Still an impeachment inquiry going on, right? There's an inquiry going. I haven't seen a lot of reporting on it. I did see Hunter Biden offered to testify, but it has to be public. And the Republicans are very mad about that.
What do you think about this move? I mean, I think this is brilliant. Hunter Biden offered through a letter, through counsel, apparently, to the House, whatever cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs committee, is currently, I think it's the Justice Committee, Comer the chair thereof, but they're trying to bring him in, but not for public testimony, just some super secret, we get to slant the outcome sort of testimony.
Right.
And Comer was very embittered. In fact, there was a Republican rep that's like, yeah, Hunter Biden should testify publicly. And then he deleted his Twitter account, or at least took down the tweet, Dom, because that's not what Comer wants to do. It doesn't work this way for them. If they've got to put it out there transparently in the light, Dom, there may not be enough there. But if they can take it behind closed doors and, you know, you can sort of infer the guilt, well, then we're on to something.
Well, then they can keep the conversation alive for their political purposes. The roster reported that apparently Comer 2 weeks ago, they reprinted a Joseph Costello tweet. He was the press secretary for the Oversight Democrats, posted a video making it clear he was fine 2 weeks ago with a hearing, and further, he would agree to testify alongside Biden. I would be happy to sit with Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and go over our LLCs. Let's do that. Let's do that. We'll be transparent. So apparently, Comer, who apparently has some what LLCs of his own, he's fine with an open door testimony right out in public. Let's do it. But not when it comes to Hunter Biden, because what? If you take the story away, what are they going to try to beat over the head of the president with? And even so, the strategy, and I don't know to what degree Hunter has benefited himself and his family. Apparently, the Republicans are very, very upset about it. But if he's willing to come out and testify under oath publicly and call their bluff and lay it out there, why wouldn't you take it? Oh, that's right, because it's a political game.
I think it's a masterful strategy by Hunter Biden's legal team. Abby Lowell, a lawyer representing Hunter Biden, disclosed the offer in a letter in response to a subpoena this month from House Republicans seeking a deposition, which would take place behind closed doors. Biden's counteroffer to appear publicly is a striking escalation in the battle between the president's son and congressional Republicans, who have focused on his past business dealings and have launched impeachment hearings aimed at President Biden. Without a vote, though, and that was under the last speaker, so I'd like to get the current speaker's opinion. Do you need a vote?
What's actually happening? Nah, we don't need a vote. It's the Republican Congress. No votes are needed.
Dominic Lowell's three-page letter cited past comments from Rep. James Comer, the chairman of the committee that essentially dared Hunter Biden to come and testify in public. A double dog dare ya. Mr. Chairman, we take you up on your offer. Lowell wrote in a copy of the letter reviewed by the Washington Post. Accordingly, our client will get right to it by agreeing to answer any pertinent, relevant question you or your colleagues might have. But rather than subscribing to your cloaked one-sided process, we will appear at a public oversight and accountability committee hearing. A public proceeding would prevent selective leaks, manipulated transcript, doctored exhibits, and one-sided press statements. Here's what the House Republicans said in response, Dom. Hunter Biden's trying to play by his own rules, and instead of following the rules required for everyone else, that won't stand with House Republicans. Yeah, tell me that when Mark Meadows appears, or Jim Jordan, or all the ones that ignored the last round of subpoenas. More devils. Come on back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. More than a foot of snow has fallen in parts of northern Ohio and Pennsylvania. Rich Kerstetter lives in Washington Township near Pittsburgh.
The other snowfalls that we had years past, last couple of years, made us into wimps. We're not used to this. No, this is good. We need it. We need the winter weather.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter was remembered by her daughter Amy Carter at a memorial in Atlanta.
My mom spent most of her life in love with my dad. Their partnership and love story was a defining feature of her life.
A private funeral is scheduled for Wednesday. Hamas has released more hostages as vehicles transporting them arrived in the Israeli town of Sderot. They were met by girls chanting in Hebrew, "We are waiting for you." CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 14. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. 38 tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Lows around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Kids Are Not All Right Tuesday edition. If you know some kids, tell them to listen to the greatest radio show ever and join us. Phone lines always available and toll free, just like the kids like it. 844-967-2789. And if you don't like to hear yourself on the radio, we accept text at that very same line. You can get the super cool Civic Media app you can take us with, and it makes it very easy to text us or call us during the live show, Dom. So, you know, tell the kids, tell everybody. Here is where I want to go next. It's playing the American Girl, a little ironically, 844-967-2789 for Nikki Haley, the choice of the Koch Brothers Network to represent the Republican people and, you know, I guess Americans, Dom, because she's running for president. And up until now, I kind of thought she was running for vice president because she really hadn't had the courage to stand up to Donald Trump, act like she's actually trying to knock him off his pedestal or whatever he's on there.
Right. Everyone's been way too nice about it. Well, with the exception of Chris Christie.
I saw Chris Christie on the morning show this morning when this news was breaking, and they did not quiz Christie about what this does to him. But I did see articles already later in the day that said, well, if Chris Christie would just drop out, then Nikki Haley could what, be Trump's vice presidential? Which would defeat right. The entire purpose of the Koch network trying to find an alternative to Donald Trump. But here's where it plays well, Dom. Iowa, the caucuses, like 50 days from now, January 15th in Iowa, dude.
Coming quick.
We going?
Yeah, probably.
Tuesday night to Dubuque. Where else would you want to spend a Tuesday night and a cold January evening? We'll go back to Dubuque for the third presidential elective cycle, perhaps, Dom. But a little reporting on the Koch network's endorsement of Nikki Haley, and they're going to bring the ground game to Iowa, which could help her. Here's what it says. The powerful political network led by conservative billionaire Charles Koch endorsed Nikki Haley for president on Tuesday as it looks to stop Donald Trump from being the Republican nominee. Now, I would point out, Dom, I just pulled up the Marquette University Law School polling from the great state of Wisconsin. We are considered one of the pivotal swing states, right? And this polling from November 15th. And it was very, very close, but Biden was winning against Donald Trump in this key swing state. One of the few, if you looked at the Siena poll and the, New York Times poll.
Yeah.
Hell, we were the only blue wall state left. But here's what's interesting. Nikki Haley, in that very same poll, was ahead of Joe Biden in Wisconsin, 55-45. Oof. That would be a much different dynamic if it was Haley in the general. The problem is, nobody told the Trumpsters. Right. So anyways, the Americans for Prosperity Action, the network's flagship political group, announced the group's first endorsement of this type in a presidential race. Never done this before, Dom. In 2015, the Koch network identified 5 approved presidential candidates, all of whom fell to Trump. Scotty Wanker was on that list, wasn't he?
He sure was, and he went quick.
AFP Action is proud to throw our full support behind Nikki Haley, who offers America the opportunity to turn the page on the current political era, to win the Republican primary, and to beat Joe Biden next November. Haley will have the full weight and scope of AFP's Action's unmatched grassroots army and resources to help her earn the support of Americans to become the next president of the United States of America. Dom, is this a game changer?
It may be. That's. I mean, like it or not, those are some big players in the political arena. Crudy, the endorsement comes just under 7 weeks before the first nominating contest in Iowa, with Trump in command of the race there and in other early states. Haley, the former UN ambassador and governor of South Carolina, gained momentum in the Republican primary and has, in many ways, surpassed Florida Governor DeSantis as the top alternative to Trump. She is pitching herself as the most capable general election candidate, with some polls showing her outperforming rivals against President Biden, as Crudy mentioned. But Trump is still far ahead in polls of the Republican race, leaving questions about how effective the move will be by the Koch network and other anti-Trump entities entering the fray late in the race. Other influential Republicans seeking to stop Trump have weighed in on the race this fall, including Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who endorsed DeSantis in recent weeks and has since appeared with him on the campaign trail in support of his bid. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, another Trump critic, suggested he will soon make an endorsement of either Haley DeSantis or Chris Christie. The Koch network endorsement comes after a splintering of the anti-Trump wing of the party, with acknowledgments by some of the most prominent groups of the space that few of their attacks against the former president have been effective. While Haley has been ascendant in the Republican race, there are some doubts in the party about the strength of her ground operation, particularly in Iowa, where organizing for the January 15th caucuses is seen as key. Iowa Republican strategists said that AFP's sophisticated ground operation and political network could help close the gap and ease concerns around the campaign's capacity to build off her momentum in the state, but noted DeSantis also has recently gained endorsements of influential state surrogates. The group promised to employ the largest grassroots operation in the country and a presence in all 50 states in support of Haley. I mean, AstroTurf, you got to pay the money for the seed, Crudy. While it declined to answer how much it will spend to help Haley, the Super PAC spent more than $69 million in the 2022 cycle, according to FEC disclosures.
2022 is a midterm. They spent $70 million in the midterms.
Can you double it? So what do you think? Double it? $150 million? What? I don't know. AFP's action endorsement will put thousands of AFP action activists and grassroots leaders into the field with a focus on early primary states, knocking on doors, urging voters to support Nikki Haley, the memo said. Additionally, in the coming days, we'll launch extensive mail, digital, and connected television campaigns to supplement those on-the-ground efforts. Some leaders, AFP leaders, had initially planned to make an endorsement by the end of summer, and the presumptive candidate was Ron DeSantis, according to people familiar with the decision-making process. But an opportune moment never came as DeSantis' campaign struggled, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe private talks. The organization declined to comment on its deliberations. Its decision is another blow to the Florida governor, who's been struggling to gain traction in recent months. It's so hard to figure out why he seems like such a natural character. I mean, the way he smiles and engages with the audience is quite something to behold, Crudy.
Dominic, Nikki Haley, at a rally very recently in Iowa earlier this month, here's what she said. Speaking at a campaign event in Iowa earlier this month, Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, said she would have signed a 6-week abortion ban in her state if she were the governor and it reached her desk. Yes, whatever the people decide. Is that what the people have decided, Dom? That would seem completely oxymoronic and contrary to what all of the voting and polling and actual turnout has been in these, granted, off-year election cycles, but that seems completely antithesis to what even Republicans want. They're not looking for more harshness to throw on top of the overturning of Roe v. Wade right now, are they? I saw Chris Christie this morning saying, I would not sign a 6-week abortion ban. I think it should go down to the individual states. It always should have been a states' rights issue. You know, that's how Republicans often play these things. But Nikki Haley trying to be all things to all people. You know, if you're in front of the right evangelicals, sure, 6-week abortion ban, whatever I got to say to earn your vote.
Yes. Politics, baby. Well, Republican politics, certainly. And states' rights issues on abortion, really? I mean, should states' rights determine, you know, interracial marriage? You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe whether or not slavery should be allowed. Oh, that's up to the states. I think we've had some of these conversations in the past.
Well, it's still a better answer than a 6-week abortion ban, as far as I'm concerned. But I would wonder, do you think this will change the dynamic of the electorate? If indeed this organization, this very powerful and well-funded organization, piles money into the state of Iowa, plenty of talk radio, they can buy up lots of ads, buy up lots of ground, you know, people on the ground knocking doors and telling people caucus for our candidate.
Especially in Iowa. I think that makes, you know, that's the greatest impact. Of course, they got to do it early. You got to do it now. And you should have been doing it already. But I guess, you know, you can, when you got that kind of money, you can make up a lot of time.
Well, I think they certainly probably could. So my question is it a game changer? Because if we see the defeat of Donald Trump in the primary, I mean, it gets real messy if Trump has the prerequisite number of electors and then he gets convicted. And Chris Christie, again, I'm referencing an earlier today interview I saw in the Morning Joe, got up for the Scarborough this morning. Christie said effectively he will be convicted specifically by Jack Smith in the Washington, D.C. case, the January 6th case. Well, that would be a game changer because that opens up a whole number of ballot challenges, right? Because then you got a rationale under the 14th Amendment to ban the man from the ballot. And I know some have been advocating, you know, there's already evidence thereof. But once you've got a conviction, he would be ineligible for the ballot in most of the electoral states. It would only take a few to change the math dramatically. And if that's the case, Dom, you got to throw him overboard.
Of course, man. I've been telling you, hey, what is it about Chris Christie saying it that makes you, I don't know, seemingly believe it more than what I've been telling you?
Well, I'm telling you, with the Koch Brothers Network behind Nikki Haley, there might actually be a viable alternative to Donald Trump. You know, given an alternative, some people change their mind. In fact, I believe Chris Christie this morning claimed his internal polling shows that 75% of Trump voters are persuadable towards another candidate in the primary. 75%, he claims. He said that some large number don't intend to make up their mind until the last 3 days. And historically, a lot of these primary voters make up their mind waiting in line.
Well, and again, throw the variables of convictions at one, maybe more, perhaps, between now and then. Yeah, he could get the numbers, and then you go into the convention here in Milwaukee. It's gonna be challenges, man. Even if he gets it that far. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Happy days, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey guys. Yeah, I noticed the kids are all right. I noticed that some kids are not all right because I see the North Carolina-based Students for Trump. The co-founder, Ryan Fortner, is facing charges of assault on his girlfriend. Apparently, he pistol-whipped her and only faces misdemeanor charges, which is, to me, galling apparently some of these kids are not all right.
And I'm sorry, Mark, I'm not familiar with the story. So this is some, like, college Republican?
Yeah, he's the founder of the Students for Trump. In North Carolina, based Students for Trump. And gotcha. I just, you know, came across this story today, and he's now 27 years old, but I mean, it is just galling that the guy just isn't, you know, facing felony charges. You'd think that doing something like that would at least rate a felony. It's involving a firearm, and that
I mean, there's less impact if you get hit with a stick than if with a gun, because obviously you could turn the gun into a different kind of weapon than a striking weapon, let's say, Mark.
Absolutely. I mean, it is just these guys have, you know, the moral authority that they claim to have is not there.
I mean, man. Yeah, but that's what attracts them. You just got to claim the moral authority, Mark. It's like, hey, I'm the most moral guy there is. Listen to me. Look at me. Oh, you pistol whip your girlfriend? Don't worry about it. You know, a misdemeanor charge. Oh, whatever. All you got to do, Mark, is claim it. Just say it's what it is, and the people around you, oh, maybe they'll believe it.
God's plan?
If you say it with conviction, it must be true. The Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
I believe it when you say it. Come back with us. We'll tell you what else the Republicans are not in favor of. The local control. We'll tell you why it matters as well. Come back with us. Greatest radio show ever. Some people say you better believe them. You can always be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, before we turn our attention to local control, I've received a recent email from the DNC War Room talking about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley repeatedly supported repealing the ACA and blocked affordable health care for South Carolinians. Don't they do a great job serving their constituents? Yeah. In response to Nikki Haley's years-long record of railing against the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion, DNC Press Secretary Serafina Chitka released the following statement. Trump is running to rip away Americans' health care, and Nikki Haley is marching right alongside him, just like she did as governor of South Carolina and as a MAGA minion during his failed one-term presidency. Nikki Haley has promised to follow the Trump agenda of jacking up health care costs for millions of Americans and abandoning 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions from asthma to diabetes. As governor, Haley used her power and to block Medicaid expansion for her constituents, just like Scotty Wanker has done, leaving millions of them uninsured and railed against access to the Affordable Care Act. Hardworking American families don't want to go back to paying exorbitant out-of-pocket costs or see their coverage ripped away so that Nikki Haley can line the pockets of her rich friends. I think she's talking about the Koch brothers, Tom. Here are a couple of the prior statements of Nikki Haley, according to the DNC War Room. Haley, we have fought Obamacare in South Carolina as much as we possibly could. We said no to the state exchanges. We said no to the Medicaid expansion. They just turned and set every state back with this bill that we know did not work. I've actually had a good experience with the Obamacare exchanges historically, Dom. One or two more. When it came to Obamacare, we didn't just say no, we said never. And we're going to keep on fighting until we get people like Senator Tim Scott and everybody else in Congress to defund Obamacare. And one more. We would end a disastrous healthcare program and replace it with reforms that lowered cost and actually let you keep your doctor, Dom.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. And how would that work exactly?
We'll get back to you in 2 weeks.
We're going to have it.
We're waiting for Trump to roll out his plan first.
I mean, and literally, this is still a thing. I mean, yesterday, New York Times, Trump apparently said he was seriously looking at alternatives to the ACA. So he's still on this. And in this regard, I mean, Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, I mean, policy wise, are basically locked at the hip, right? I mean, can you think of anything specifically regarding their agenda other than, well, I'm going to take that out. Specific traditional policies that would be debated amongst the Republican and conservative sides, they're probably agreeing on. Now, tanks in the street and, you know, suppressing suppressing the vote, but tanks in the street and, you know, arresting protesters, those kinds of things, I would imagine perhaps Nikki Haley's not down for, but Donald Trump has made his will and his desires specifically known.
Now, I hate to be misogynist or racist, Tom, but the Republican Party sure does have a hankering for a little misogynist racism, Dom. She seems like the wrong candidate at the wrong time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can understand why she might cast appeal with the Koch Brothers Network, but the broader electorate, Dom, she might win back some of your female suburbanites that found Trump abhorrent. But what about the deep down racist in the party? Are they going to come out and vote for a woman of Indian ancestry slash a woman? I mean, that doesn't seem like their normal cast.
It's hard to argue that point, and we won't know until and if it happens. But if she's on the ballot, what, they're gonna stay home? I don't know. I think ultimately, yeah, you may lose some of the hardcore, straight up misogynist types. But they're going to act in their Republican self-interest. They're going to presumably rally around Nikki Haley. Now, the Trumpsters that came out of the rocks that were never really engaged before, or perhaps, you know, just allowed
low
them
propensity
to,
Trump
right, they may scurry back. That might be the case. But you know, does it counteracted by, as you mentioned, the suburbanite Republicans who were so turned off by Trump?
No.
You know, you think there's a greater number? I don't know.
My only fear would be, because Donald Trump is a turnout machine for the Republican Party. He's right when he states he got more votes than any incumbent president ever, but he turned out more votes for the Democratic side. Because I strongly believe in my heart of hearts, Dom, that the greatest motivation to vote for Joe Biden was the other guy. The other guy we had seen what 4 years Donald Trump did to this country, to this world.
Continues to do to
chaotic.
This country, to
this chaotic. Yes. And we all thought that Joe Biden was less chaotic by comparison. But I got to tell you, Dom.
Everybody is less chaotic by comparison. Every single Republican running right now is less chaotic by comparison, man.
So my point being is the same urgency that people felt in 2020 to end the reign of Donald Trump and vote for Joe Biden. You know, are we back to kitchen table issues? Are we fighting about the economy? And you know, I've made the point. I don't think that people perceive the economy to be as strong as your historical data suggest. So my thought would be, if Republicans usually win on economic issues and Nikki Haley is the representative of the Republicans, she's not going to turn them out for the Democrats. They're not going to fear her. They're not going to fear a Nikki Haley administration and tanks in the streets in the same way we would fear another Trump administration. That is not going to motivate people. And in fact, I think we would see a lot more bleed to third party voters if Nikki Haley indeed was the Republican nominee and on the general election ticket.
Perhaps, but I don't want to give overweight to the fascism that Trump is espousing. Now, there's still obviously the abortion issue that Republicans are all about. They're going to continue to lose on that. This doesn't, you know, there's so many things obviously still unsettled. The self-governance, as we talk about often, this is never done. This is an ongoing process. You can engage or not engage, but governance is going to happen one way or the other. And if you're involved, at least perhaps you got a little skin in the game, a little input to it.
What do you used to say? You said it many times on this show. If you don't vote, what, Dom?
If you don't vote, you don't get to bitch.
Except on our phone lines at 844-967-2789. Maybe we'll talk local control. Maybe we won't, but I sense a debate brewing, Dom.
Uh-oh.
I got a problem with your perceptions on whether or not non-citizens should be able to vote. Let's argue about it. Because I don't like you so much.
844-967-2789. That debate and your calls coming up.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you every weekday on the Civic Media Network and on our app, very soon. A big shout out to Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and of course, our fantastic guests who have been helping to hold down the fort while I've been gone. So I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.